U.S. House members were almost gleeful as they pulled roller suitcases behind them on their way out of Washington this week for summer recess. The Senate is sticking around two more weeks, but for both chambers' Republican majorities, the ultimate goal is the same: make sure the federal government is funded well ahead of the September 30th deadline. Caitlin Babcock and Victoria Hoffman were on Capitol Hill this week talking to members. Republicans made clear they don't want yet another government shutdown ahead of the November midterms, even if it means risking other priorities. It's Friday, July 24th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Linda Feldman. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. International oil prices climbed above $100 a barrel on Thursday. It was the highest level in 2 months as fighting in the Middle East expanded and intensified. Besides escalating attacks between the United States and Iran around the Strait of Hormuz, Iran-backed Houthi rebels are trying to close a second choke point, this one connecting the Red Sea with the Gulf of Aden. The militants claim they hit two Saudi Arabian tankers near the Bab al-Mandab Strait. If the rebels succeed in cutting off Saudi oil from world markets, energy prices could climb much higher, traders warn, especially because the world has already used up much of its oil reserves during the first round of U.S.-Iran fighting. The European Union levied a $1 billion fine on Google under its Digital Markets Act. The tech titan was accused of boosting its own services in search results and blocking app developers from guiding users to cheaper alternatives. Google has 60 days to comply or risk penalties worth up to 5% of global turnover. The U.S.-based company criticized the ruling, saying it would lead to product degradation and harm consumers and innovation. The ruling comes as Washington prepares a fresh round of tariffs on EU goods, adding to transatlantic trade tensions. Also, national homicide rates continue to drop significantly. According to a Council on Criminal Justice analysis, homicide rates have dropped 18% since 2025. They are 51% lower in the first 6 months of this year than they were in the same time period of 2022, a recent peak. If confirmed by nationwide FBI data expected to be released later this year, this could indicate a rate lower than that of 2025, which is already expected to be the lowest rate since 1900. Additionally, 9 out of the 13 criminal offenses recorded in the analysis saw lower rates since 2025. The study noted that these results do not support a single policy or explanation. Dozens of CCJ researchers will convene in September to discuss the recent trends. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. There have been 3 federal government shutdowns during President Donald Trump's second term. The potential for a fourth this fall is driving Senate Republicans' political strategy months ahead of the budget deadline. Caitlin Babcock reports from Washington for The Monitor. U.S. tariffs rattled allies and rivals, stressed household budgets, and failed to boost manufacturing. But they raised big revenue until the Supreme Court annulled some of them. Will a rebuilt tariff wall be better? Lauren Belsey reports for The Monitor. As Britain's 7th prime minister in 10 years starts his role, mainstream leaders across Europe will be watching to see if Andy Burnham can reverse the disillusionment that's fueling far-right populism in the United Kingdom and other European countries. Ned Temko writes from London for The Monitor. Long simmering frustrations with corruption and youth unemployment have bubbled over into India's streets, and it is arguably the biggest test yet for Prime Minister Narendra Modi's government. Contributor Akash Hassan reports from Delhi for The Monitor. Ancient Greek, it turns out, is not dead. Not quite. Indeed, with the classics getting a boost from everything from TikTok trends to this month's Christopher Nolan blockbuster film, The Odyssey, a small group of devotees is trying to understand the Athenians in their own tongue. Emily Staunton reports for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on how India's Gen Z is speaking up. Spontaneous youth-led protests against corruption and unresponsive political leadership have toppled three national governments in South Asia since 2022, in Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, and Nepal. By comparison, the goal of the satirically named cockroach youth movement in neighboring India seems quite modest. Accountability from just one minister and the Ministry of Education on the issue of corruption in the national examination system. But it's worth noting that India has the world's largest population of young people, and that the current largely nonviolent protests are spreading rapidly across the country. Together, these factors have immense implications for national politics and citizens' expectations for opportunity, responsive government, and social cohesion. Perhaps the most remarkable aspect of this organically evolving movement is the solidarity it has inspired, according to Babani Shankar Nayak, an Indian academic teaching in London. Writing online in Counterview, he observed, "For perhaps the first time on such a scale, online participation merged seamlessly with street mobilization." This is notable at a time when democratic discourse and dissent have been increasingly squeezed under Prime Minister Narendra Modi. During his 12 years of rule, social and religious divisions have been exacerbated, and the government has become adept at controlling access to the internet and social media. Despite this, the demonstrations have grown organically and reportedly include citizens of all faiths and generations. Local residents are providing shelter, and people across the country have used delivery apps to donate food and other supplies to the demonstrators. The protesters have exercised the corrosive fear that has become second nature to us all with their sheer courage and grace and humor, wrote internationally renowned author and activist Arundhati Roy in The Wire this week. Social media wit has been one unintended motivator behind the student movement. The other was the mid-May cancellation of the National Medical School entrance exam after a question paper was leaked. Millions of students and their families pin their hopes for upward mobility on this highly competitive test, and some 150 such leaks have been alleged since 2014. A comment by India's Chief Justice was the final straw when he likened unemployed young adults who don't have any place in a profession to parasites and cockroaches. "What if all cockroaches come together?" Abhijit Dipke, an Indian student who recently graduated from Boston University, jokingly mused on social media in response. In a few days, likes were in the millions, and on May 30th, he founded the Cockroach Janata Party, a play on Mr. Modi's Bharatiya Janata Party. Flying into New Delhi in June, Mr. Dipke was greeted by supportive crowds. These have now grown into the larger, rolling demonstrations that kicked off Monday as India's parliament opened its monsoon session. The protests are continuing despite internet shutdowns and police crackdowns. Whether the students will achieve their aim of the education minister's resignation is uncertain, as Mr. Modi is not known for backing down easily. But it's clear that the cockroach movement has foregrounded the deeper issue of Indian citizens' right to political leadership that is honest and responsive. "Thank you, all you young people, for reminding us about democracy," commented Gitanjali Shri, another celebrated author and winner of the 2022 International Booker Prize. "Salam to you, and a plea that the powers that be will do their duty wisely." The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we recognize the reign of God's harmony, we find healing. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Noah Flatt, Mackenzie Farkas, and Olivia Fletcher.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.